We're going to start now on Daf Ayin Aleph. First, on the last line of Ayin Omid Beis, we're going to talk about how Klal Yisrael will be Metair Yisrael Min Apsulim at the end of time. Omer Abchama Bar Chanina at the last line of Ayin Omid Beis. Kshach Kodesh Baruch Hu Metair Shavatim. We asid lavo when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be metired those yichusim. In other words, he's going to separate the psulim from the ksherim. Shivto shel Levi metar tchila. The process will begin with the shevet of Levi. Shenemar v'yashav mitzoref u'metaher kesef. There'll be a malach that's sent forward to separate the psulim from the ksherim. V'tir es b'nei Levi, the pasuk in Malachi at the end of Tanakh says that first the process will begin with b'nei Levi, v'zikak osam kazov v'chakosef. And Hashem will purify them like you purify gold and silver. V'hoyu l'Hashem magishe mincha b'tzdokah. Now, in terms of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to start this process by first separating the psulim from the ksherim in Shevet Levi, which includes the Kohanim, of course, before the rest of the nation of Israel, there's a comment here in the Mefarshim that since the Kohanim have a certain Maila, a certain Kedusha, above and beyond that of Klal Yisrael, their Tara will be the first in Klal Yisrael. Kol HaKarev L'Tara Tukdom Taroso. In other words, he was being brought closer to Tara because that's his responsibility, is he will begin the Tara. And the Pasuk here is quoted in from Malachi. Rashi says, Osam Shenitmu Machmas Ashram, that the reason why this pasuk refers to a tara process of kesef and zahav is because of the role that kesef plays in the tumah process. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maschel Mitar Hashvotim, he says, Miyachsom, Kesef Mitar Mamzerim, he says, Hametumoim, Bi Yisrael Machmas Mamonom. That this process of Psulim getting mixed up with Ksherim is a result of Mamon. And this becomes even clearer in the next statement in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Kesef mitayert mamzerim shenemar v'yoshav mitzoveif u'mitayer kesef. Now what does this mean, that money plays a role in the admixture of the mamzerim into mishpachos ksheris Yisrael? It would seem that somehow the Mamzerim were able to buy themselves into the families of Israel. And what that means is, in all likelihood, again I can't be absolutely sure about it, but the impression you get is that somehow a Mamzer, because of his wealth, I don't know exactly how it works out, but people want to marry someone who's wealthy, and in this case, they'll be able to infiltrate, if you will, into the ksherim of Klal Yisrael because of their money. Now, the first drush that we had was that of Rabbi Choma Bar Chanina. And the Gemara doesn't explain the end of that pasuk that we started with. The Marsha explains that when Ezra came with the people of Israel from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, they separated those who were married to non-Jewish women, were intermarried, separated themselves from Bnos Yisrael that were from the Bonos of Nochrios, and they brought Karbonos at that time. This is all recorded in Ezra, Perek Yud. And Liosid Lavo, when there will be this process in which the Ksherim would be Nivdal, they'll separate themselves from the Psulim, they will have to bring a Karbon for the sin of being married to these Psulos. However, it seems from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says the Marsha, that at the end of time there'll be poverty. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ein ben David ba ad shetichle pruta min akis. One of the simonim of the gula of Mashiach is the lack of money, the poverty. And the cheapest of all karbonos is called the mincha of Dali Dalus. And this karbon of Dali Dalus, this mincha, will be brought when there'll be this process of Jews separating themselves from non-Jewish marriages. Kimekable tztaka, shein lehem klum mishalehem. Those who receive, who are on the receiving end of tztaka, they don't have anything for themselves. Those are the Dali Dalus. And when Rabbi Yeshua in the second drasha says that kesef mitar mamzerim, it seems to indicate that a mamzer will be able to use that same kesef, in a figurative sense at least, that caused or allowed him to marry into Klal Yisrael, that kesef, mida keneged mida, so to speak, will be utilized as a conduit, as a method to be mitayer mamzerim. And how is that so? So the Ran, and also Rashi, not here on the Daf, but Rashi on the Rif, seem to indicate that the mamzerim are going to be able to use their funds to purchase a shivcha, and the children, the offspring of a marriage relationship between a mamzer and a shivcha, is an eved or a shivcha, and as a result of the shichur process, then there will be a gerus, and these children, the offspring, will be allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael. That is the process that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi indicates or alludes to. The Ran is not happy with this pshat, and in some of the Rishonim, they take the kesef mitar mamzerim, the word kesef, in a more figurative sense, to refer to kisufa. And that means that humiliation, if let's say you call a person a mamzer, or you call him an apostle, and he turns red, so to speak, meaning he's humiliated, he's embarrassed by it, that already is a siman of tara, that somehow there was a purification. And if the accused, meaning they hurl that spiteful word mamzer towards a person, or towards a mishpacha, a psul, and he shoseg, that shtika, which is a result of busha, that itself is a proof to be machshir that mishpacha, to be miyaches that mishpacha. And we're going to see later on Daf Ayin Amid Beis, the Gemara talks about yichusa de bavel shtikusa, that shtika is part of this process. Now, it's not clear whether the process is a process of hochacha, of birur, or a process of hechsher, of being machsher. You get the impression here that when the pasuk in Malachi says mitaher, it is a process of hechsher. At least according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says the kesef is mitaher mamzerim, meaning machsher mamzerim. According to the first drasha of Rabbi Chama bar Chanina before Rabbi Shimon Levi, it could be that metayer means to be mafresh the psulim from the ksherim. And again, if we take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Shenemar, he says, Osam shenitmu machmas oshram, v'sefer dekra, v'hoyu l'ashem magishe mincha b'tztoka, is tzidkaso shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu hi, she'eno mavdilam, elahol shenitmu nitmu, v'Rabbi Shimon Levi svirlei, hay metayer lav mavdil psuleihem ka'amar, ela metaram umachshiram kulam. So that Rashi seems to indicate that the difference between these two drashos is that whereas the first drasha, which speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being metayer shvatim, that pasuk means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to declare that they are tahorim, and that's a process of havdalah. But Rashi's language is Tzidkaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hi she'eno mavdilam. Eino mavdilam, Rashi says. Rabbi Shimon Levi svirle is hay mitayer lav mavdil pisuluseim ka'amar ela mitaharam umachshiram l'chud. So when Rashi says that Tzidkaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hi she'eno mavdilam, he's explaining, I believe, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in contrast to the first drasha of Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina says that Shivto Shalev mitar tchila, he means to be mavdil the psulim in Asherim. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to play the major role. Here, in the context of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino mavdilam. So it means that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there's some sort of a process which is not called mitaher, because mitaher would be mavdilam. You know, you're purified by separating out the psolas, in this case the psulim, but rather mitaher means machshiram. And machshirim is a process of hechsher. It's not 100% clear what that process of hechsher is, but if you look at the next piece of Gemara, after Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi darshins the pasuk of Yoshav Mitzarif Umitar Kesef, that he's machshir the psulim, is the Gemara says, "My magishe mincha b'tztoka om Rabbi Yitzchak." Tztoka osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael shemishpacha shenitma'a nitma'a. That when there's a mixture of psulim in a mishpachas ksherim, that is going, the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to separate the psulim, but to be machshir the psulim. And that's called mishpacha shenitma'a nitma'a. And that's a process of hechsher. And this process of heter, that mamzerim will be tahorim liyosid lavo, does that apply to a situation of mamzerim yiduim or vadoim, or only to a case of nitmu? Nitmu means there's a mixture, we don't know where, and we're not absolutely sure. And here we find a presentation of the Pnei Yoshua. He wants to say that according to the first Deya in the Gemara, which is Rami Bar Chanina, as opposed to the way Rabbi Yitzchak seems to interpret the Pasuk, he's not willing to accept that Mishpacha Shenitma Nitma. But rather, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mashir Eshchina, except on Mishpachos Miuchos Yisrael, is somehow it's going to become clear, Liosid Lavo, who are the Psulim, and those will be separated out. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the way Rabbi Yitzchak interprets it, there's going to be a mixture which, at least in the case of Mamzerim She'enom Yiduim, there's not a vada, we cannot identify them in a clear way, they will somehow be mixed into Klal Yisrael in a way that there'll be a hechsher for those sveikos. That's called Hoel V'nitma Nitma. This is going to be the subject of a sugya later on Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis, and a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir about whether Mamzerim will become Tahorim Liosid Lavo. And it would seem that the machlokes is going to revolve around the question about Mamzerim Yiduim, whether or not we could be Metire them. The Ran, on the other hand, is of the opinion that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir are going to agree, Kuliyama lo pligi, that Mamzerim Yiduim Asurim Liosid Lavo. So the heter is only going to be with regard to a Mishpacha Shenitma, and there's no Mamzerim Yiduim Vadoim. That's according to Rabbi Yossi. But that's a sugi we'll have later on. Now, when it means Nitma Nitma, and that's going to be a heter, so some of the Rishonim want to suggest that because Safek Mamzer is Mutim in a Torah, we're going to take a Safek Mamzer and we're going to be Matir, a Safek Mamzer, even Lechatchila. But in the case of Yadua Psulo, that's a different halacha. And the question is, if somebody knows about someone that he's apostle, is he meant to reveal that or to keep it quiet? And that would seem to be the sugya that we're about to embark upon now, Mishpacha Shenitma Nitma. And maybe it means that we should not be revealing Psulim if we know about the Psulim. Just let it go by. But before we get to that, let's go back to Shmuel on Samach Tes Amid Beis. Shmuel said that the relationship, the yachas between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael is that Eretz Yisrael is an Esau compared to Bavel, meaning that when Ezra did what he did to check out and isolate the Psulim in Bavel, it turns out that since many other nations had come to Eretz Yisrael, the situation in Bavel as a result of Ezra's work was superior to that of what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. Gufa, the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, we had the statement of Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Aratzos, Isali Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is superior in Yuchsin to all the nations of the world, with the exception of Bavel. And the reason for that is that in Eretz Yisrael, the Sanhedrin sat, and they were constantly checking out and investigating the Yuchus of families. But Eretz Yisrael is Isali Bavel. Eretz Yisrael, relative to Bavel, is a mixture, because there was still some psulim that got mixed up into the families in Eretz Yisrael. And this happened over a process, because if you remember that, over the course of time, because if you remember that Ezra had brought up from Bavel the psulim, and ultimately, as generations went by, these psulim mixed into the Mishpachos Ksheiros B'Yisrael. So in other words, the situation in Yisrael became one of Safek Psulim relative to Bavel, where Ezra had completely cleaned out the Mishpachos Psulos from Bavel. He had emptied Bavel out of Psulim. Now the Gemara tells us a historical fact that Bimei Rebbe, at the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Bikshu Lasos Bavel Ke'isa Le'eretz Yisrael. There was an attempt to accuse or to classify the situation of Mishpachos in Bavel as an Isa, as a mixture of Psulim relative to the situation in Eretz Yisrael, which meant that if a person from Eretz Yisrael would want to marry a woman from a Mishpach in Bavel, he would have to check and investigate the Yichus. Now, it's not clear as to why Rebbe made this change. In other words, initially, back at the time of Ezra, the situation in Bavel was superior to that of Eretz. So now Rebbe wants to reverse the process and put Eretz Yisrael on a higher level. And it could be because over the course of time, the situation in Babel deteriorated as far as Mishpachos and Yuchsin, because Ezra was no longer there to supervise. So when Ezra was there, he was able to isolate the Psulim. But over the course of time, there was an admixture of Psulim. It's not clear if they were local Psulim from Babel or they came from other countries. Now, Rebbe was a descendant of Hillel. Hillel, the Gemara establishes in Horios, was one of the Olim Mibavel, who received his appointment as the Nasi from the Bnei Bisera. Now, Amar Lehem, Rebbe said to them, Kotzim atem misimim li bein einai. What does this mean? Kotzim is a symbol of somebody who's creating anguish, you know, thorns that go in and hurt you. And what happened was that at the time of Rebbe, Bimei Rebbe, Bikshu Lasos Bavel Isa Le'eretz Yisrael, there was some sort of a movement at the time of Rebbe to cast aspersion on the Mishpachos in Bavel. As we said before, if a Ben Eretz Yisrael wanted to marry a girl from Bavel, she would have to be checked out. Now, Rebbe, in a sense, comes from and to defend the Yuchsin and the Mishpachos of Bavel, since he comes from Bavel, or from descendants of Bavel. And therefore, Rebbe and his position was that the Bnei Bavel were Becheskas Miuchasim, and therefore he took this movement very personally, as almost a personal affront to his people. Ritzonchem, if you want to do such a thing, if your movement is going to take on power, so to speak, then Yitofel Imochem Rabbi Chanina ben Chama. That, you know what, you should have to face or confront Rabbi Chanina ben Chama. Why? So Nitpal Imoem Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama confronted these people who wanted to cast dispersion on the Yuchsin of Bavel. The Omer Lehem, he said to them, Kach mekublanimi Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Shomim Shum Aviv. I have a tradition that dates back to Rabbi Yossi. Kol harotzos isol yeretz Yisrael, v'yeretz Yisrael isol Bavel. In other words, the situation in Bavel is superior, and there's a cheskas mishpachos miyuchasos in Bavel, and therefore there's no need for bedika of a girl that you want to marry from Bavel. And really, Rabbi Chanina bar Chama is only reiterating what we know, because we've already had this halacha of Eretz Yisrael ki isol Bavel. So there's no real chidush in Rabbi Chanina ben Chama's statement. He's just repeating what we know. And back in our Mishnah, it says that Asor Yuchsin Olu Mibavel, which means that Bavel had the status of Solas Nekia, as we discussed early on Daf Samach Tesamid Beis. But somehow, even though Rabbi Chanina was not saying anything new, and this was already established by Rebbe, nevertheless, Rebbe, because he himself was Babylonian in his ancestry, he wasn't totally trusted and reliable. He was like considered as an Ogeh B'Davar, which meant that we needed a more objective testimony than that which is indicated by the Mishnah itself that Rebbe authored. And therefore, since Rabbi Chanina ben Chama, who apparently was not from Bavel, or at least Rav Yossi that he's quoting, Rav Yossi himself was from Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, this testimony was a lot more acceptable, so to speak. There was no way of casting aspersion on Rav Yossi, who was from Eretz Yisrael, and made a statement testifying to the Solus Nekiyah of Bavel. The Gemara says, Bimei Rebbe Pinchas, Bikshu Lasos, Bavel, Isa, Eretz Yisrael, Isa Legabe Eretz Yisrael. It means that at a time of Rebbe Pinchas, when Rebbe Pinchas wanted to go into the Beis Medrash, like Rebbe had done before him, and established that on the contrary, Eretz Yisrael is in the Isol of Bavel, that if there are psulim, the psulim are in Eretz Yisrael and not in the Mishpachos in Bavel. And when he went into the Beis Medrash to fight off, to stave off this movement, he was afraid of the fact that they would press him and say, well, if you want to say that Eretz Yisrael is the Isa, that with Isa meaning a mixture of psulim, then you'll have to prove it by pinpointing which mishpachos in Eretz Yisrael are psulim. Amar lahem la'avadov shani omer shnei dvar mebeis ha-medrash toluni bi'arisa v'rutzu. He told his servants, Rabbi Pinchas, that he's about to reveal two halachos in the Beis Medrash, and immediately when I finish, get me out of there. You know, rush me out, so that the Talmidim will not jump upon me. Now, he was an elderly gentleman at this point, so he knew that unless they put him in some sort of a wagon and rushed him out of there, he would not be able to be mishtamet to avoid the barrage of the Talmidim. Ki oil, Rabbi Pinchas goes into the Beis Medrash, and the first din that he reveals, Amar lehem, ein shechita liof min haTorah. That as far as the halacha d'oraisa is concerned, and this is a sugyan chulin, an oaf does not need shechita to be matir l'achila. You know, shechita is a requirement. The pasuk says, v'ish, ish mibnei Yisrael asher, Yotzud Tzayid Chaya O Of Asher Yochal V'Shofech Es Domo. And the drush is V'Shofech Es Domo V'Shficha B'Alma Sagi. The Gemara in Mesecht Chulin on Daf Chaf Ches identifies the Shita of Shficha B'Alma Shari or Sagi, that you don't need Shchita, that it's enough Shfichas Dom, with Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar. Rebbe, on the other hand, disagrees, and he says that Of requires Shechita min haTorah. And even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not enough to allow the bird to die, or to kill the bird, but you need what's called Nechiras Simonim. You have to slice the Simonim, or at least, separate the Simonim, but you don't require shechita per se. And here Rabbi Pinchas is accepting that shechita and publicizing this in the Beis Medrash. He didn't even give them, the Talmidim, any explanation. They were now preoccupied with trying to figure out what this statement meant. And he was hoping, Rabbi Pinchas, that maybe they would be distracted by the first din, and they wouldn't pay attention to the radical statement of the second din. Adiasve v'kamaini ba. In other words, while the Talmidim were figuring out what this means, that Of doesn't need shechita min haTorah, Omalahu, he presented his second statement. Kol haRotzos Isa liEretz Yisrael veEretz Yisrael Isa leBavel. Meaning that in Eretz Yisrael is a mixture of psulim in the mishpachos. And immediately the servants took Rabbi Pinchas out, natlu barisa, v'ratzu. And they fulfilled his will, and they rushed him out of there. Now, the Mefarsh want to know what's the connection, if there is one, between Shechita Sa'of, which was the first din, and the second din. Perhaps there's some sort of remez here. And a chaya needs shechita, even though it's not brought on the mizbeach as a karbon. Oaf is brought as a karbon to the mizbeach, and yet it needs shechita, which means that an oaf has superior kedusha to that of a chaya in terms of its relationship to the mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. And nevertheless, paradoxically, the oaf doesn't need shechita. So you see that the din of shechita has nothing to do with the din of kedusha. And perhaps one could say that if that be the case, that even though Oaf has Kedusha, nevertheless it doesn't need Shechita, in the case of Eretz Yisrael, which has a Kedusha that's superior to that of Bavel, nevertheless that doesn't prove that the Mishpachos in Eretz Yisrael are Miuchasos. So he hinted to them that, you know, don't rely on Kedushas Eretz Yisrael to assume that the people there are so holy and their mishpachos are certainly ksheros. Because you see that even though the oaf has a holiness that goes beyond that of a chaya, nevertheless, you still don't need shechita. You'd certainly think that to be matir and oaf, you need more of a maisa matir, a maisa matir on something that has Kedusha. In any event, the Gemara continues the story. Ratzu Achra, the Talmidim, were running after him because now that he's indicated that there are Mishpachos Psulos in Eretz Yisrael, you know, they wanted to know which Mishpachos they should stay away from. According to one pshat, in the Rishonim, they were running after him. They wanted to punish him in some sense because he was passeling Ksherim B'Yisrael. But they never were able to track him down. You know, he was moving too fast. The Avodim took him. Is then Yoshvu Ubodku Achi Giyu L'Sakona Uperishu. They had no choice, but they thought, now we have to check out the Mishpachos B'Yisrael. We have to clarify who are the Psulim in Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of this bedika, it got to a situation out of hand of sakana that the tough people in you know, the mafiosos over there in Eretz Yisrael that were obviously suspect of being psulos, and now they would, through this process of bedika, they would be megalah the psulos and exclude them from the Jewish nation. They put these talmidim, their lives, into danger with all sorts of threats, perhaps. And amongst the psulim, apparently, were these rich people. They were the sarim, they were the officers, and they were tough. So at the end of the day, Perishu, the Talmidim, stopped their process. They realized how dangerous this was, and they no longer were bodik to try to reveal where the mishpachos psulos Be'eretz Yisrael were. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Heichala. Heichala is a lashon of a shvua. Biadenuhi. I have the cards in my pocket to reveal which are the mishpachos psulos in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, we know who the mishpachos psulos are. We know how to identify them. Avol ma ese sherei gedolei ador nitmu ba. Now this comes back to the principle that we discussed earlier of Mishpachas and Nitma Nitma. And what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that that these psulos were able to enter into the highest echelon of the Mishpachos of the Gedolei Hador. The Gedolei Hador themselves were married into this mixture of psulos. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I could reveal it because I know exactly who these mishpachos are, but I'm not going to do this. And why not? Because of the principle that we said before, Savralah ki Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rabbi Yitzchak, mishpachos and nitma, in other words, right now, no one knows where the psulim are, is nitma. We're going to leave it as is with that mixture. We're not going to reveal and identify who the psulim are. Leave it as a suffix. And then again, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, embellishing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as we saw earlier on the staff, that liyosid lavo, there'll be a heksher process for these sofek, for these sfeikos. So let's leave it as is and rely on the fact that soon there'll be a heksher process even for these sofek psulim. The Gemara now supports Rabbi Yitzchak that we shouldn't push away these sofek psulim, these mishpachos that have sofek psulim mixed in, and they will become ksheros through a heksher process liyosid lavo. Omar Abai Afanan Tnino, we have this in a Mishnah in Edios, and the Mishnah says Afanan Namitnino mishpachas beis hatzrifa. They identified a certain family, Hoysa Bievra Yarden, and it was assumed that this mishpacha was a mishpacha kshera, but Richaka ben Tzion Bizroa. This ben Tzion, who was apparently a tough guy, you couldn't mess around with him. He was an ish Zroa, which means he had a powerful arm. He declared that this mishpacha called Bas Atzrifa, is a mishpacha psua. There was another mishpacha in Evra Yarden, unnamed, and they were assumed to be psula v'kerva ben Tzion Bizro, and he used his power to be machshir to proclaim about this mishpacha that it's a mishpacha kshera. Now there's a whole pshat here in the Sefer Aruch, Rav Nosson Bala Aruch, which is quoted by the Achronim here, that this Ben Tzion was really an Adam Kosher, and he had the right kavanas in mind. There were two mishpachos that had a chazok of psul, and they were very wealthy, and they wanted to use their wealth to somehow enter in and marry into the mishpachos miyuchasos b'Yisrael. And Ben Tzion was marchik one of them, and he was machshir the other one. Meaning he did the bedikos, and he came to the conclusion that the second mishpacha, which again we don't have, it's an anonymous mishpacha, we don't have their name, he discovered that despite the chazaka, the assumption that it was a mishpacha psula, was indeed a mishpacha kshera. His kavana was always for the best. So he used his roa for good. In any event, what's clear from this whole story about Ben Tzion is that there were mishpachos that were known to be psulos, or assumed to be psulos, and the Mishnah in Edios says, kigon elu, these situations where you had certain mishpachos that were known to be ksheros and others were known to be psulos, and there was a pirsum that these we have to be marchik, and these we have to be makarif. Is liosid lavo elio ba litame ulitayer lirachek ulikarev kigon elu diadinon, about those that we know for sure that they are ksherim, he'll be makarif them. Those who are psulim, he'll be marchik them. Kigon elu diadinon, that we're machzik them to be psulim, and somehow they were able to enter into to the mishpachos miuchasos, is Elio is going to be marchik them. But those are the yiduim. Avol mishpachos and nitma, if a mishpacha has an admixture, you know, some sort of a dough of psulim that got mixed up with a ksherim, is nitma, Elio is going to leave that family bekashrusa based on this principle called hol v'nitma nitma. And according to the Ran and other Rishonim, it seems that this halacha lidoros for all generations, then a mishpacha shenitma nitma. And if we know about a psul, then since this psul somehow got mixed up in the mishpacha, we're not permitted to reveal the psul and proclaim it and declare it publicly. He says that lasid love afal pishi yivoda dvar psula tehek shera. And the impression you get is that even though you're not allowed to reveal the psul that's mixed into the mishpachos, but nevertheless, the Gemara is going to seem to indicate later on that litznuim, to those who are super pious and they're not going to reveal, you're allowed to secretly tell them on the QT that these are zera psulim and therefore you shouldn't marry into them. And that was something that was transmitted from the Chachamim to their children and their Talmidim, as we'll soon see. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Od Acheres Hoysa, there was another family in Evra Yarden. V'lo Rotsu Chachamim Legalosa. And even though the Chachamim recognized the Psul in that Mishpacha, since they were already mixed in with Ksherim, the Chacham did not want to reveal it. And they were inhibited, Nimnu Milagalos, because there was a mixture even amongst the Gdolim of Mamzerim. Lo Rotsu Chacham Lagalos of Al Chachamim Mosrim Oso, as we said before on the QT, they transmitted Libnei Mel Tamideim. How often did they do this? There are two opinions about that. According to the first opinion, Pama Achas, Bishavua, once in seven years, they would gather together their Talmidim to pass the secret information on. We're going to soon see about the Shem Hashem, that likewise there was a transmission of the Shem Hashem once every 7 years. Amrile, others say Pamaim Bishavua, twice in a seven-year period, just to make sure that the psul would not be forgotten, so that amongst the tznuim, amongst the talmidim, they would be careful not to marry those families, into those families. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Mistavra Kimandi Omar, Pam Achas Bishavua, he accepted that opinion in the Braisa, that it was once in 7 years, Kidisanya, because in another Braisa, a person declared Hareini Nozir im lo agala mishpachos. He makes a tnai that I should become a nozir if I don't reveal the mishpachos. Is yied nozir. We would rather that he become a nozir v'lo yigala mishpachos, rather than allow him to reveal who are the psulos. So you see clearly from this braisa that we don't advocate to reveal the psulim. And although the Chachamim felt a need to do so, but it was only rarely, as we said before, once in 7 years, in a very private, closed room, that they would do such a thing. And the Gemara now explains that something similar, Omar, took place with regard to the transmission, the secret of the Shem Hashem. Omar Rabba, Bar Bachana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Ben Arba Osios, which is the Shem Havaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chachom Mosim Oso L'Talmideihem Pam Achas B'Shavua V'Yamri Le'Pamayim B'Shavua. So on rare occasions, the Chachomim would reveal and transmit to their students exactly how to read or write the Shem Hashem and what it means, the Kriya, and the Ksiva, and the Pirish of the Shem Hashem. And this was a Mesira, and not a Limut. In other words, they didn't go into great detail and teach all the nuances, but perhaps it was a Mesira. What does a Mesira mean? In other words, it could be that they were afraid that if they would reveal it verbally, orally, to their Talmidim, maybe some people who weren't worthy would sneak in and present themselves as if they were Talmidim, and they would listen and hear, and no one would know the difference. So instead there was a Mesira. Mesira means a Mesira B'Ksav. What they did was they wrote sort of like summaries on a piece of paper, on a Ksav, and they would give it to the Talmidim, and they would ask the Talmidim to immediately destroy that Ksav after they learnt about the Shem Ben Arba Osios. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says that when Chazal tell us that the Shem ben Arba Osios was Nimsar by the Chachomim to their Talmidim once in 7 years, says the Rambam, Ein ze ech yia dibur bo bolvad lamed gam ha'inyin, asher ba'avuro yuchad ze Hashem v'yibo sod Eloki. So according to the Rambam, it seems that the teaching here was much more serious. There was a transmission of exactly how to read the name of Hashem, which letters had to be emphasized when you recite the Shem Hashem. I mean, the Shem Hashem was a very powerful tool. If you take a look in Rashi, Rashi says that that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to kill the Mitzri by enunciating the Shem Hashem. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Mistavra Kiman Di Omar Pamachas B'Shavua. This was really very secretive, so they would not reveal it more than once in 7 years. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says in Shmos, in Perek Gimel, regarding the Shem Hashem, Kos Omar al Bnei Yisrael Zeshmi Li Olam V'Zeh Zichri L'Dor V'Dor Zeshmi Li Olam. It says in the Pasuk Li Olam, without a Vav Chaser, Li'olam ksiv, without a vav, as if it would say li'alem. Li'alem, which means to keep it secretive, ha'lama, and you should be malim, the shame, which means that you should not transmit the shame Hashem more than once every 7 years to the Talmidim. Rava sarva l'midrashe v'pirka. Rava once was preparing to teach the shame Hashem publicly, how to read the Shem, what it means, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Omale Ahu Saba, according to some Mefarshim, that's Eliyahu Hanavi, Li Aleim Ksiv, Rava, that's not what you should be doing. This is not something that's meant to be transmitted publicly. The Gemara tells us that Rav Avina had a question on this pasuk in Shmos Gimel, Ksiv Zeshmi, and then it says Liolam without a vav, Uksiv Zeh Zichri Lidor Vador. Now, Zeshmi and Zeh Zichri, the two parts of the psukim, first of all, what does it mean, Zeshmi and Zeh Zichri? It could have said Zeshmi U Zichri, and that would be enough to clarify that this very special name of Hashem, the Shem HaMiyuchad, as we call it, is also Nizkar, which means we're talking about both the Kriya, which is Zeshmi, and the Pirush, which is called Zez Zichri, and the word Rami here, Rav Avina Rami, doesn't mean a normally Raminu means a stira. Here it's not a stira because he's really just asking a kasha. Why didn't the Torah just say Zeshmi v'Zichri? In any event, his answer is that there are two different names here. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Moshe, Lokshani Nichtav Ani Nikra. There's a ksiva and certain letters, and then there's a kriya the way you read it. Nichtav ani biyud he. In other words, the Shem Hashem is written yud kei vav kei. That's called Zeshmi. And then when it says v'zeh zichri, that's referring to the kriya. V'nikra bi aleph dalet. It should be read as adnus. And you don't read the name of Hashem in the way it's written. Now the Gemara talks about a different Shem of Hashem, which is called the Shem Ben Shtemesrei Osios, has 12 letters. To Tanur Rabbanan Barishona, Shem Ben Shtemesrei Osios, Hayu Mosrim Osam L'chol Adam. Now Rashi here doesn't explain what the Shem Ben Shtemesrei Osios is. The Yad Ramah says it's a tziruf of Havaya three times over, and the later commentaries quote the Arizal as saying that there are three different Shemos. There's Havaya, there's Adnus, and then there's Ahi, Aleph Hey Yud. And we don't know how to be Mitzarif these three names of Hashem and how to vowelize them, what vowels to put on them. Only the Tznuim knew about that. And that's what it says here in the Braisa, that although initially this Shem ben Shtemisrei Osiel, so the tziruf of all the letters, was revealed lechol Adam. And again, the Mefarshim say it doesn't mean mamish lechol Adam, but rather the Talmidim, even though the Talmidim were not, it was taught in the academies, they didn't know that each one of the Talmidim was such a tzanua on that pious level, but later on they were machmir, and they would not transmit this shame of Ben Shtemosios to all the Talmidim, but rather to the tznuim, and not even to all the tznuim, but rather to the tznuim of Kahuna, Misharobu Apritzim. There were those who used the name of Shtem Ben Yosios not in a pure way, because it should only be used really in dire necessity to save a life. Is how you most and also now, in the new period of time, Litznuim Shebe Kuhuna. The Kohanim have a level of Anova and Tznius that is superior to that of the rest of the nation of Israel. And the Kohanim also had a pressing need to know the Shem Hashem, because they had a mitzvah of Kosev Varchus B'nei Yisrael of Nesias Kapayim, and that took place in the Beis HaMikdash at the time or following the Hakrovas Tomid Shel Shachar, and they had to know exactly what the Shem Hashem was for the purpose of this bracha. Vatznuim shebekuhuna mavliim oso b'ne'imas acheihem hakohanim. In other words, the tznuim who knew the name of Ben Shtemisrei Osios, they would read it very quickly, so that other kohanim, he says, shar kohanim, he writes, shar kohanim moshchu es kolom b'ne'imus kishebirchu b'shem ben arba osios. So what happened was that most of the Kohanim, when they benched, they would say the shame of Arba Osios out loud, and the Kohanim, who were the special Tznuim Shebekuna, they would recite the shame Ben Shtem Osios in a lower voice, so that they were drowned out by the voices of those Kohanim who would recite the Arba Osios. And the question is, the Torah itself uses, in the parash of Noso, in the parash of the Nesias Kapayim, it says the Shem Ben Dalet Osios. What was the heter? What permitted the Kohanim to enunciate the shame of Yud Beis Osios? And apparently the Rosh in Masechta Yuma asked this question with regard to Vidui Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, that the Kohen Gadol would recite the Shem Ben Membez Osios, that's the Shem HaMeforesh of 42 letters, and the Rosh asked the Kasha on Rav Haigon, how could the Gemara say that this is, how could this be permissible, that the Kohen Gadol would recite the Shem Ben Membez Osios? The Gemara tells us that the Azkaras Hashem of the Vidui Kohen Gadol is derived from a Gzeirah Shav of Egla Rufa, where it says in the Pasuk, Kaper li amcha Yisrael asher padisa, and then it says Hashem. And there, Yudke Vavke is written as Dalid Osios. How could the Kohen Gadol change this and use and recite the Shem Ben Membez Osios in his Vidui? And the same question has to be asked here, that since in the parsha of Kosev Orchus B'nei Yisrael it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, what gives the right to these Kohanim Tznuim to replace the shame of Dalet Osios with the shame of Yud Beis Osios? And that's a difficult question to answer. V'tanya, the Braisa says, Omer Avitar from Pamachas Olisi Acher Achi Imi Laduchen. In other words, my uncle, the brother of my mother, was a Kohen, and I was a Kohen, and I went up to Duchen after my uncle, V'tesi Ozni Eitzel Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Tarfon testifies that he listened carefully to the Kohen Gadol, V'shamati Shevliya Hashem meaning the shame of Yud Beis Osios, B'ni'imas Echov HaKohanim, who was drowned out by the voices, the beautiful voices of the rest of the Kohanim. Now, it's not clear exactly why Rabbi Tarfon has to go up to Duchin, if he's a Kohen, after his uncle. And the Mefarshim here want to claim that Rabbi Tarfon at that time was a Katan. And the halacha is that a Katan is not allowed to go up to Duchin unless there are other Kohanim. Not only that, Rabbi Tarfon, as the Gadol Ador, he wanted to stand next to the Kohen Gadol. So he went up to the Duchin after his uncle, who would stand next to the Kohen Gadol. So he sort of like allowed himself to go up with someone who would be next to the Kohen Gadol. Now, the Gemara speaks about the shame of Arboim V'shtayim of 42 Osios. Omer Rav Yudah Marav Shein Beim Arboim U'shtayim Osios. And Rashi indicates that we don't know what that shame is. The Yad Ramah and others say that this is the shame Yotze Mibreishis Ad Os He Shal Uvohu. That from the beginning of the Torah up to the word Uvohu, you'll get the Shem Hashem that has 42 letters. The Rambam writes that this Shem Hashem is not one word, but it's a combination of many words that calculate together to 42 letters. Again, there's a lot here about the Shemos, which is beyond our comprehension. But in any event, Ein Mosrin Oso Elamisha Tzanua V'Anov. We have to have a person who is tsanua v'onav. He's not mocked it on his own covet. There's no chashash that he will use this name Hashem to punish those who insult him. He's not insulted. He's a tsanua. V'omid v'chatzi yomav. He should be halfway through his life. Some say that means he reached the age of 35. V'eino kois, he doesn't get angry. Eino mishtaker, he doesn't get drunk. Eino mamet al midosov, he doesn't take he doesn't take revenge against those who anguish him. He's not a person who's guilty of eva, of sinna. And therefore, we're not afraid that he might abuse the name of Hashem in order to take revenge against his enemies. For those who anguish him. And then it says, Kol Yodea Kol Yodo, anyone who we know about him, V'Hazoyerbo, and we know he's very careful, he's not going to teach the shame to others and take advantage of his knowledge to pass it on to others. Vamashamro Bitara, but rather he only uses this shame, the holiest name of Hashem, the ineffable name of Hashem, Bitara, in purity. Ohv Lamaila, he knows how to give covet, glory to Almighty God. Venechmad Lamata, and amongst the Brios, he is considered Nechmad because he would not try to in any way misuse this name and damage and cause harm to the people. Ve'moso mutel salabrios v'nochel shlomolomim ha'olam hazeh v'ha'olam haba. Now all these descriptions here, kol ayodo v'azoyerbo, meaning those who know the secret of this holy name of Hashem, and they have the ability to have the kavanos of all the remozim, all the illusions, and the kodesh, and the sanctity, the inner sanctity of this name, of this holy, holy of all names. And perhaps they know maybe how to gather together the 42 letters and to put the vowels underneath them. They may not know exactly all the meanings of the deeper meanings implied by this name, but at least they know how to read the name. Is such a person cannot be described as Yodo. Yodo means he knows the secrets, the remozim, the Kodesh Pnima, if he just knows how to put the letters together and maybe even read them with the proper vowels, that's not the person that's being described here. Because such a person who mentions the holy name of Hashem, he doesn't understand the meaning of it, that he's not Zoyerbo, he's not Mishamro. Hazorbo Mishamro Bitaro, such a person who really knows the name of Hashem in the fullest sense, and perhaps before he even mentions the name of Hashem of 42 OCLs, he'll be Mitaire himself, maybe with the Efer Paraduma. Such a person is considered Ov Lamala Venechmad Lamata, Emoso Mutelis Alabrios, Nochel Shnei Olamos, Olamazev, Olamabah. I mean, such a person is on such a high level that all the great descriptions and attributes that you can attribute to a person are attributed to him. At this point, the Gemara goes back to the topic of Yuchsi, Yuchsin, and Mishpachs Yisrael, and Shmuel, Mishmei de Saba. Shmuel says the name of one of the elders, that there are three levels in Yuchsin. The highest level is Bavel, is Bechezkas Kshero Medes. The assumption is that there's no Tarovus of Psul, Achivadil Chavame Nifsala, until you have some sort of clarity that there was a psul that was mixed up in a certain mishpacha. The next level, a little bit down, is Shar Arotos. And they are Bechezkas Posel Hein Omdos. In other words, you should not marry a woman from the other nation, from the other countries of the world, until you make a full-fledged investigation and clarify that there's no psul call that got mixed in. That's the lowest level, and in between, midway between Bavel and Shara Ratzos, is Eretz Yisrael, is Muksak L'Posel, Posel, Muksak L'Kosher, Kosher. And we'll have to figure out exactly what that means. Hagufa Kasha, with regards to the Mishpachos Yisrael, I mean, Shmuel seems to be saying A but not A at the same time. Amrit, he says, Muchzak l'posel posel, that means only if we hear about someone that he's a posel or about a mishpacha, then we assume it's posel. Hastam, if we don't know, kosher, you don't have to check. Vahadar tani, but then he says, Muchzak l'kosher kosher, that only if we have a chazaka, we have reason to believe that this mishpacha is kshera, then you don't have to check. Hastama, if you don't have a cheskas kashus, is possible, you do have to check. Amar Ravuna bar tachlifa mishmei de Rav lo kasha. And here we turn to daf ayin aleph amid beis. Kan lasio isha, kan lahotzi isha miyado. When Shmuel says that in Eretz Yisrael you need bedika, which means stama posel, achivadolcha, shem ksherim, is that lasio isha? And what does that mean? If you want to know whether this woman can get married, and if she wants to marry a kohen, we certainly need extra care. But kan lotzia isha miyada. When Shmuel said at the end of his the last part of his statement was with regard to Eretz Yisrael muchzak l'kosher, you need cheskas kashrus. That's in order to marry her off. But the first statement of Shmuel, the reisha of Shmuel was that muchzak l'posel posel, that unless you know otherwise, you assume it to be kosher. That's lotzia isha miYisrael. In other words, if a man married a woman already, then as long as we don't have a cheskas psul, we're not going to undermine this marriage and start saying it's a suffix. So once the marriage is already a done deal, it's a reality, then Shmuel says about Eretz Yisrael that it is only if it's muksak l'posel, then it's posel. Om Rabbi Yosef, kol shesichaso bibavel, masiyin lo isha. if you have a person who speaks in Bavel, meaning he speaks the language of the Babylonians, he speaks Aramaic, then he has a chazakah that he comes from Mishpacha Miucheses B'Yisrael Masin Lo Isha, then you're allowed to marry off a woman from that Mishpacha. In other words, you don't need a full-fledged bedikah. Now, a full-fledged bedikah we're going to be learning later on Daf Ayin Vav in the Mishnah, which means to be bodek the kashrus of four mothers, going back to the mother, the grandmother, the great-grandmother. But as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, we already established in Shmuel that a stam situation in order to marry a Jewish girl is... You require such a bedikah. Now, the Gemara of Rav Yosef continues, says, "Va'idna de'ikar ramoy." There are now people who are ramoyim, and they speak the Babylonian language in order to prove that they are miuchasim chayshinon. We have to be careful that even if they speak the language, nevertheless, they're not necessarily miuchasim. And we're going to have to do the bdika. And now the Gemara brings a story about the meticulous care and concern amongst the Bnei Bavel about getting married to a girl from Eretz Yisrael, where so many nations converged on Eretz Yisrael. There's a mixture of psulim. Ze'iri havakam mishtamit minei de Rabbi Yochanan. Ze'iri, who came from Bavel, did not want to encounter Rabbi Yochanan. And why was that? Ahavi Omarle Nosiv Brati, because he knew that Rabbi Yochanan would want to marry off his daughter to Ze'iri. And since Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael, Ze'iri was concerned about the Yuchsin. Yomachada Ahavi Ka'ozli Bi'urcha. Rabbi Yochanan and Ze'iri were walking together on the road. Matu li'urkima demaya. They got to some sort of body of water. And arkive l'Rabbi Yochanan akatve v'koma aberle. Ze'iri put Rabbi Yochanan a piggyback on his shoulders in order to take Rabbi Yochanan over the water. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, O raison kshera. You accept my Torah, and therefore you're willing to learn Torah from me, and consider yourself as my student. And a student, towards his Rebbe Muvok, has a chiyuv kavod and ema. But benasin lo kshera. But my daughter is not considered miyucheses in your eyes. You don't want to marry her. Ma datoch? Why do you feel that way? You think that the Bnei Bavel are miuchasim and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are not. Ilema midisnan, because it says, Harba yuchsin olu mi Bavel, karnu Levi, and amongst them were mamzerim nesinim and shar psulim, and you think that in Bavel there were no psulim left. Ezra got rid of the last, he cleaned out the last psul, and therefore the yichus in the mishpachos of Bavel superior. He says, that's not a proof. Atu karnu Levi of Yisraeli, Kulo Slika? Are you telling me that when it says Mishpachos of Kohanim Levim Yisrael, they went up to Eretz Yisrael, it means all of them? Every last one? Every last soul? Certainly there were those who were left behind in Bavel. And therefore, Kihechi Dish Teyur, Mehani Ish Teyur, Nami Mehani, it's logical to assume that just like some of the families of the Ksher were left behind in Bavel, so too some of the families of Psulim were left behind. So therefore, you shouldn't be so confident as one of the Bnei Bavel that the Cheskas Miuchasos B'Yisrael is superior to that of Bnei Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan was of this opinion, Dishtamisei, because he was missing Hadi Omer Ablazar, Lo Ola Ezra mi bavel achasa kisoles nekia viola. The statement that Rabbi Lazar was unknown to Rabbi Yochanan, that Ezra did not come to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel until he guaranteed himself that Bavel would be soles nekia. So the clear implication of the statement of Rabbi Elazar that Ezra made Bavel into a soles nekia, it means that he cleaned out, he took out all the psulim without leaving any at all. Now, it's interesting, Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. And now the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yochanan was unaware of the statement of Rabbi Lazar. How does that work out? If Rabbi Yochanan is the Rebbe of Rabbi Lazar, you're telling me that he forgot the words of his own Talmud. That's a little bit strange. In other words, had he said that, you know, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with his Talmud, Rabbi Lazar, that would be one way of saying it. So what does it mean, ishtemite divrei Rabbi Lazar? So in any event, the possibility here is that surely as a Talmud Muvok, Rabbi Lazar is quoting Rabbi Yochanan. He's not saying something minafshe. And if Rabbi Yochanan is saying something contradictory, it must mean that Rabbi Yochanan forgot exactly what he himself said. That seems to be the implication of the Gemara. According to the Chidah, if we find that Rabbi Yochanan says something that's the opposite of Rabbi Lazar, then you can't say that the memra of Rabbi Lazar is in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara brings another story here about the care and the concern of the Bnei Bavel, Ula, and as far as Yuchzen are concerned, Ula Ikla Lefumpedisa Lebei Rav Yehuda. Ula found himself in the house of Rav Yehuda in Pumpedisa. Chazye l'Rav Yitzchak braid Rav Yehuda de Gadal v'lo nasiv. He noticed that Rav Yitzchak, who is the son of Rav Yehuda, was getting older and he wasn't marrying. Amalei, so Ula turns to Rabbi Yehuda, the father, and he says, "My taima lo kamansiv le mar isolibre. Why don't you find a woman, a bride for your husband, for your son? Sorry, Amalei ki yadana mehecha ansiv. I don't know where to find a mishpacha miucheses bi Yisrael to marry off my son." Amalei, so Ula said to him, "Atu anan mi adina mehecha kasinan." You know, do we know what our yichus is? You know, can we say about ourselves that we are miyuchasim? Dilma mehanach tichsiv noshim v'tzion inu v'sulel spiare Yehuda. The pasuk in Eicha speaks about the women that were raped by the goyim at the time of the Churban Habayis, and they had children from them. Then we also should be psulim according to your standards. V'chi tema, and if you're going to say that for such a fear based on this pasuk in Eicha, we don't have to pasul our yichus, we don't have to worry about our yichus. Why? Because ovi kochav v'yevet abav asra v'lad kosher. If you want to maintain that position, that the child of a father who's a guy is considered kosher. Dilma, but I have another fear to be worried about. Mihanach, we have another pasuk in Tanakh, in Amos, Dechsiv Behu, describing them, Ashokvim, Almitos, Shein, Usruchim, Al Arsosam. And the pasuk seems to indicate that the Navi is turning to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. And they think they're very secure there, they have all sorts of pleasures. And they lie down on beds that are very expensive and very elaborate, that are made of ivory. And these secure, wealthy people are paying no attention to the pain that they should be feeling about the terrible catastrophe that's about to befall the Jewish people. And as a result, their punishment is that they're going to be at the head of, you know, the head of the line of those who go into Golus. That's what Amos is saying in his castigation against these wealthy, secure people having pleasures in life. and living in Eretz Yisrael as if everything is going well. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, what does it mean in the Pasuk Sruchim? Elu b'nei Adam amashtinim mayim b'pnei mitoseim arumim. Those who urinate in front of their beds while they're naked. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appreciate that. Megadef ba. Rabbi Avo, in other words, Rabbi Avo was not satisfied with the interpretation of Rabbi Yossi in this Pasuk, HaMashtinim Mayim Bipnei Mitoseim Arumim, that's what the Pasuk is referring to. And according to the Girsa of Tosus, not here, but in Masechta Nida, the Girsa should be Meshamish Mitoso Arum. It means that there's no tznius when they have Tashmish Amita. Ihachi, Rabbi Avo, asked the following question. If the Pasuk is talking about those, how are you going to explain Hainu Dechsiv? It says in the next part of the Pasuk, as far as their punishment, L'chein ata yiglu barosh golim, they'll be at the head of those who go out, the line of those people who are sent out into Golus, and Mishum demashtinin mayim bifnei mitoseim arumim yiglu barosh golim, should they suffer such a horrible punishment, such severe punishment because of this avera el amar abe yavo? What does it mean? Ashokven al mitos shein elu bnei adam sha'ochlim v'shosim ze im ze umadbikim mitoseim zuba zu machlifim nishoseim zela ze. That they get so carried away with the pleasures and the hedonistic pleasures, and they eat and they drink together, and they come to a situation of znus. And they put their beds together, and what happens is they have relations, you know, by swapping wives. This terrible adultery is masrichin are so some b'shichva zera sheinim shalahem, and they do this repulsive act in which zera comes into the body that doesn't belong to them, and therefore they create mamzerim, and these are going to be barosh hagolim. And how do we know that we didn't come from those? In other words, we cannot guarantee that we don't have psulim. You don't know what's in your ancestry. And the Marsha asks Akasha here that Rabbi Yehuda seems to be contradicting himself. In Masechta Yevamos, he takes the position that a mamzer is only possible if it's yodua lakol, if everybody knows. Ein pisul yodua lakol. And what does it mean that Ein Psul Yedua L'Chol Eino Chai? Rabbi Yehuda assumes that such a mamzer will eventually die through Ashgachas Hashem because we don't know about him, and he's going to really mess up the kashrus, the yichsin of Klal Yisrael. So in other words, how could it be that Ula is asking a kashrus Rabbi Yehuda? There were you, the Obin Choshesh Lipsulim. Do we know whether we came from Mamzerim? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a kash at all, because a Mamzer, if he's any Yadu, ain't a Chai. And this question is raised by the Marsha with an answer. And he bases himself on an earlier Yamshel Shlomo, that a Mamzer any Yadu lo Chai means Dafka b'Mamzer Yochid. But b'psul mishpacha shenishkach lo nemar ken. In other words, that this principle of mamzer sheni yadu lo chai that Rabbi Yehuda formulates in Masechta Yevamos is only referring to a mamzer vadai and a yochid, but a mamzer safek, he will be allowed to come into the kohol. And therefore, Aula's question was, since according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, you have to be choshesh for some possibility of psul of mamzerus, then you should admit that in a case of a safek, we also are sfekus, and yet we are allowed to marry. So why are you choshesh for yuchsin? Amaleis, Rabbi Yehuda answers, he responds, hechi navid, on what should we depend upon with regard to bedikas yuchsin? Amalei zil basar shtikusa. Should we assume that since a mishpacha is a shatkanis, is that means it's more of a yuchesses? Ki haide bodki b'nei marava. that in amongst the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, how do they check for Yuchsin? Ki minsu beitrei badi adodi. If you find families that are constantly in altercations, they're fighting one with the other. Chazu haiminayu dekodim v'shosik v'yamri haimi yuchas tfei. That we can check Yuchsin by finding which one is quiet. And finally, you know, lets the hatchet, you know, buries the hatchet, as we would say. That's considered to be a more miyuchas family. And the Gemara says that Rav also was somech on shtika when he checked out a bedikas yuchsin on a Rav. Shtikuse debavel haini yuchusa. The shtika of the Bnei Bavel gives a cheskas miucheses. So it seems that ultimately Rabbi Yehuda would allow for a bedika, and that bedika that he accepted would be the bedikas shtikusa, which Rav in fact employed and implemented in Bavel. Ashi says that Bnei Meriva, Stam Bnei Meriva Psulim, Shenotrim Evel Acherim, Sheparshim Machmas Psulim Achzikim in Meriva, that because there's some issue about their Pasos or Kashus, they start fighting back. Vilu Ashaskonim, those who are quiet, you can assume that they're Muchsok Beichus. In other words, the Psul itself becomes the cause for a fight, some sort of riv. And it's not according to Rashi that that you can tell something about the nature of a person that he that mitivam apostle is Bnei Meriva. The Bach says that it seems from Rashi that we're talking about someone that when you machrif him and you accuse him, he's a shosek. And the formulation of the Bach is Kolshu Muksok Bekashrus Tikoso Afli Dovra Nogel Yuchus Mavochochel Kashruso. If there's a person that we assume to be kosher, and when any issue of Yuchsin comes in, he's quiet, that silence itself is a proof that he's a kosher. Again, in a case where there's reason to believe that there's a Tarovus of Psulim in a Mishpacha, and then you call him a name that indicates psul and he's quiet, it could be that in such a case his shtika adarava is hochach that he's pasul, when there really is reason to be choshesh. The Gemara says eini v'ha ikla rav lebei rav shofi chala. Rav came across the house of a person whose name was Shufa Chometz, and he wanted to marry into that family, to marry off his son to one of the relatives of that family of Bar Shifei Chola, Ubadak Bahu, and he checked out that kashrus. My love biachuse. It would seem to be that he was doing a classical checking of the mishpachos of the previous generations to find out the mimuchasim. So it seemed that Rav himself did not rely on this check called shtika. So the Gemara answers, lo, b'shtikusa. What it means, that Rav was bodakluhu, is not that he went back to the grandmothers and great-grandmothers, etc., but rather, he checked b'shtiku to see if they had this mid of shtika, of shtikus, and then he determined their yichus. Hachi kamaluhu b'doku ishasiku ishseku, ilo shseku, are they shoskim, shaskonim or not? The Gemara now points out that in a case of a meriva, some sort of an altercation, you can tell and determine the yichus. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Imra Isa Shnei Bnei Adam Shemizgarim Zebazef. You see, two people that have some sort of a battle, is Shemiz Psul Yesh B'Echad Mehem, V'Ein Menichem Al Sol Lidovek Echad B'Chavero, Hashemayim min Hashemayim, there's some sort of Hashgacha Pratis, the divine providence to separate these two families, and Hashem puts a fight between them so that they shouldn't mix together and marry one to the other. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he says something similar. Imra Isa Shtei Mishpachos Mizgaro Zubazu, they constantly are in some sort of battle between the two. They're holding grudges one to the other. Is that to Simon Shemes Psul Yesh Ba'achas Mihem? And the Amenichemosov Minashamayim, it's they prevented Lidavik Bechavrata, that one family should marry into the other, and Akash Bochu is Matil Mariva between them. Omrav Papa Sava, Rav Papa the Elder, Mishmei de Rav, the name of Rav, Bavel Bria. Bavel is assumed to be Miucheses, and the Psulim were removed. Meshon Mesa and Modai Chola Elam Goseses. Rav Papa says in the name of Rav that if a Jew comes from a place called Meshon Mesa, Mesa is a figurative way of saying that they're all Mamzerim, and this might reflect what we discussed before in the Gemara in Yevamos, that Mamzerim Einam Chayim, they won't live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Hashgachas to make sure that they die out. And Modai, if they come from Modai Chola, then Yisrael that comes from Modai, is most of them are Ksherim. There is a Miut, that Psulim, that's called Chola. The Elam Goseses. Yisrael that comes from Elam is Rubam Psulim, just the opposite. Whereas in Moda it's Rubam Ksherim, here it's Rubam Psulim, Miutam Ksherim, Uma Ben Cholim Legosesim, Rov Cholim Lechayim, Rov Gosim Lemisa. So in the case of Elam, we call them a Goseses because most of them are indeed Psulim, only the Miutam Ksherim. So Yisrael Sheba Moda, on the other hand, is Rubam Ksherim, only Miutam Psulim, and that's called Chola, Rubam Ksherim. Now, we said earlier that the Bnei Bavel are considered more Miyuchasim, and Eretz Yisrael is considered an Isa LeBavel. The Gemara wants to know what are the bounds of Bavel as far as Yuchsin is concerned. Bavel is found between Chidekel, which is to the east of Nar Prat, and Limarova, and to the west. The Gemara wants to know, what's the gvul of Bavel beyond Chidekel on the eastern side, Rashi explains. And there's machlokas here between Rashi and Tosus about where the Nar Prat, the Euphrates River, where does it begin to flow? According to Rashi, it comes from the south, moving north, until eventually it gets up to the Chidekel, to the Nar Chidekel, and Eretz Yisrael is to the south of Bavel. And that's the pasuk in Yirmiyah that says Mitzvon Tiftach Hara. Now Pras begins, May Eretz Yisrael from the land of Israel, V'yored Ad Bavel, goes all the way down to Bavel. And this is based on a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. So the Gemara says that Heichoni Bavel. In other words, again, we knew that the gvul of Bavel, in its width, the Rochav, was towards the west of Nar Prat, but what's the width, in the width of Bavel, what's the eastern Gvul, beyond the Nar Chidekel, Rav Amar Ad Nar Azok, and that's on the eastern side of Chidekel, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel was of the opinion Ad Nar Yo'eni, which is on the eastern side, to the east of Nar Azok. The Gemara goes on to explain and define the boundaries of Bavel in terms of the north and the south, the Orech of Bavel. First, the Gemara mentions the eastern side, Liel Bidiglas, Diglas is another word for Chidekel, Ad Hecha. Where is the Gvul going down to the Orech of Bavel, above the Chidekel, which means the southern, the southeastern gvul of Bavel, Rav Amar Ad Bagda V'Avna, Ushmul Amar Ad Mushkene, V'lo Mushkene B'chlal. The Gemara now asks the question, what do you mean, till Mushkene, and Mushkene is not included in the boundaries of Bavel, V'Amar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, Amar Shmuel, Mushkene Arehi Kegola, It has the same status as Pumpadis in Bavel, which is called Gola, Liyuchsin. So how could you possibly tell me, in the name of Shmuel, that Mushkene is not included in the bounds? Ela ad Mushkene or Mushkene Bechlal, we have to assume that Mushkene is included in the bounds of Bavel, and we can rely on the Yuchsin in that place because it's part of Bavel. The Gemara now clarifies that Litachtis Bidiglas ad Hecha, in other words, if you're talking about the Orech of Bavel, on the bottom side of the Chidekel, how far does it go down? And Omer Rav Shmuel, ad Afamya Tata, until a place of Afamya on the south side, and that's not included within Bavel. The Gemara says, Tarti Afamya Havin, there were two cities that were called by the same name Afamya, Chada Elisa. One was on the higher side, which is the Dorom, the Chadatas Yosa, and what was on the bottom side, which is the Tzafon, is Chadak Shera of a Chadak Psula. One was considered part of Bavel and had the din of Kashas Yuchsin, one was Psula ben Chadal Chada, and the distance between one and the other was Parsa, the Kokabti Adadi. And there were constantly fights between the members, the residents of these two cities. They wouldn't even borrow a fire from one or the other. That's how meruchakim they were. And they wouldn't marry one into the other. And if you want to remember a simon, which famia is psula and which is kshera, is the pslusa ha-demishtaya meishanis. In other words, there was a language called Meishan, because it was a little closer to Meishan. And if you remember that we discussed that Meishan is Mesa, they're all Mamzerim and Psulim in that area. So one city of Afamya was closer to Meishan, and the residents there spoke the language of Meishan, and that's the Psula. The Gemara now adds something about the Orech, the boundaries of Bavel, on the western side, Liel Bifras Ad Hecha, how far is the Orech of the Gvul of Bavel? On the upper side of the Nar Prat, which would be the southwestern side of Bavel, Rav Omar, according to Rav's opinion, is Ad Akra de Tulbankne. Shmuel says Ad Gishra de Bay Pras, until the southern part of the Pras. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ad Ma Bores the Gizmo, which is a little bit north, and these are the various opinions about the Gvul of Orech of Bavel on the Tzad Milo of Nar Pras. The Gemara now quotes an entirely different opinion about the bounds of Bavel. Layit Abaye. Abaye was quoting a different opinion of Itam Rav Yosef the Adarav. It was others say that it was Rav Yosef. Layit means to give a klola for someone who relies on the yuchsin, the bounds that were delineated by Rav for Bavel, because that's not true according to this second opinion. The Orech of Bavel is not as southerly as to the south as Rav would have it. Adarav layit v'adishmul lo layit. The Gemara says, was Abaye, or Rav Yosef, unhappy with Rav, but happy with the way Shmuel defined the boundaries? Now, in truth, the Shmuel defined the boundaries of Bavel, Mishmi Shiftel, Litzad Dorom, that it would go down to the southern side even more than Rav. So why was the objection here to Rav and not to Shmuel? El Light Ad Rav Kolshken Ad Shmuel. But rather, you have to say that he was upset with Rav, and how much more so with Shmuel. And if anyone who was knowing like Shmuel and broadened and expanded the bounds of the southern boundaries of Bavel to such an extent, he should have a klola liet ibois ema. Another possible reconciliation is Li Olam Adarav Layit Adashmuel Lo Layit. He was upset with Rav's bounds, but not with Shmuel's. Vigishra Debe Pras. Now, Shmuel said that the southern bounds of Bavel is Gishra, is the western side. Litatei Havakoi means it was north of Tuvlanki, where Rav had put the bubble. Therefore, Shmuel was actually constricting the bounds of Bavel more than Rav. And now we see the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis Omer Aleph. And the Gemara says, Vehaidna hu delayahua parsoi. Only in our time did the Parsium change the place where the Gesher, where the bridge was. They took it from one place where it was originally and they put it in a southern place. And that's Akra de Tuvlanki. Shmuel was talking about the original place where the Gesher, where the bridge was located. Omalei Abayler of Yosef Laha Gisa de Prat Ad Hecha. He was asking now, how far is the western bounds of Bavel? To the west of Nahar Prat, of the Euphrates. Omalei Maidatech. Why did you ask such a question? Mishum Biram. Because of those who wanted to clarify the Yichus of the Yoshve Biram, that were located on the western bound of the Nahar Prat. And you should know that Miyachse de Fumpedisa mi Biram Nosve, that the Mishpachas Miyachasim Pupedisa was located between Prat and Chidekel, would marry girls from Biram. So it must be that Bnei Biram had a chazaka that they were Miyachasim. Like the Anshei Bavel, they had the same status as the Anshei Bavel. All right, we'll stop here.